Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody out there, Kalen Patterson, P4P Real Talk Midwest Muscle in the house. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. Yeah, you heard me say it, and I said it first. And if you were looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals like a Mack truck through ice cream, check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now let's talk. And I'm here. It's summer's here. 4th of July is fast. Hopefully nobody blew the diet too bad. Everybody's still on track. But we're here with one of the summer shows, with one I was delighted to be a part of. And we had him scheduled for last week, as many of you know, and informed us that, hey, we made a mistake. No, we did not. There were just some issues that came up, and he was busy. So, you know, we rescheduled him because we know that you had questions that you wanted to ask, and you wanted to hear from the source, which would be the man himself, which would be Jack Howerton. He did the NGA USA, and it turned out really good. You know, we had a lot of fun there. Always when the Fit family gets together and you have true competition, and I'll say this, and I hope everybody understands what I'm saying. When you have true competition, there's a lot of love in the venue when you have true competition, because basically everybody wants the other person to do their best, even if it means I don't come out on top, because that's true competition. If the best person wins, everyone in the venue is happy. I will say this again. If you have true competition, if the best person wins, everyone in the venue is happy. If you have cheaters, if you have jealousy, if you have envy, these aren't true competitive sources. That's not what drives and motivates true competitors. Basically, you bringing your best and presenting your best and getting the placement from that is true competition. People that complain that they didn't win because they were promising their family and friends that they were getting that pro card, honestly, you might want to rethink where you're coming from and where you're going, because the Fit family is truly a family of united competition. And that's something I don't want to say you're born with, but you can be raised with it as well. But there is an understanding that sometimes you'll get beat by a better person. And that's not hard to accept if you're a true competitor. And I'm speaking of one of those true competitors right now, because honestly, I can't remember a time where he didn't walk off stage where he wasn't smiling off of any placement, other than, you know, if there was a question off of a posing or something that was a little confusing from the head judge or something like that. But it was never out of anger or never out of feeling slighted or cheated. And he just got one of those grins that are just it's charismatic, and it really livens up a show and a venue. And I'm speaking about Jack Howerton. Jack, introduce yourself to the listeners, and we'll get this show started.
Thanks, Kalen. Too bad this isn't video. You can see my smile ear to ear. I really appreciate it. Hello, everyone. I'm glad I heard there's a few people online and listening. It was just an overwhelming sensation for me to be able to bring this show to the Madison, Wisconsin area. As my mentor and coach, Leif Anderson, we're firm believers in athlete first, and that's really where my focus was on the show this year. I really wanted the athlete to walk away with an experience that they really enjoyed. It says they want to come back and they want to invite their friends to the next show. So that's so I think Kalen introduced me a little bit there. My background is I do bodybuilding. I've been in bodybuilding for now for about 3 years. Been into several competitions and done fairly well. I haven't gotten my pro card yet, but I'm still working at it. Right now, I wanted to put a lot of focus in giving back to the athlete, the natural athlete, and to me, bringing this show to Madison was one of the best ways possible.
Now, before we get to the listener's question, one of the things that I'd like to say is that the Midwest is really a hotbed of good competition, but also good shows. And one of the things I was amazed with is that you picked Madison, which is kind of a really tough spot because everybody's basically stepping the game up with how they're promoting shows, and you still found a way to carve your own little niche in that. And, I mean, those hammers were really something to be a first-year show. So, you know, kudos to that. But also, wow, as a competitor and then getting out there as a promoter. And so we'll start with Tiffany's question because she basically pegs and segues what I'm talking about right now. And she says, she tried to look back some years, and she says you're pretty new to the natural industry, but you're also pretty new to promoting, and I don't think she was aware that this was your first show, but she wants to know how you find the drive and the passion to maintain both.
Well, it is difficult, and last year, or going into this year, I knew I wasn't going to be competing as hard as I have in the past. So majority of my focus really was on the show, not on my competition season. So I think that kind of answers the question, but it's hard to do both. If I was in the serious competition mode, I wouldn't have been able to put quite the focus I did into the show, and I think that would have hurt. So to me, the step back a little bit from my competing and really put that little extra effort into getting my first show off the ground and something that the athletes can walk away and say they were happy to be in was really my priority.
Yeah, I agree. And, that, you know, it does take a lot of focus, and it's kind of like prep mode just for a promoting side. And, I agree with Tiffany. It's got to be quite the juggling act. And, you know, I know your wife has done a lot to help support in that. But still, I mean, like mentally, it's got to be a draining thing because a lot of times first-year shows deal with new competitors basically trying to get their feet wet. And they've got questions that you just don't expect to hear or have. And you still got to find a way to answer them in a way that they can understand, because you realize you're talking to people that don't really know the sport that well, but you still want them to compete at a show they'll be taken care of. Because honestly, you and I both know that you know, high-end shows are coming in, but it wasn't the norm when we were basically getting our feet wet. It was basically, you know, you're like herded cattle. And I know Lee has spoken about many times, and then I have really, I really don't even speak the names of the people that were harming the sport and the competitors, because why share something that's not worth speaking about? And I know you can speak to that, and how did that help you with deciding how your show would be promoted and run?
Well, that definitely influenced me. I've been to a lot of shows, even though there was a lot of them that I didn't compete in that I just went to last year to get a little bit of the visual of what's going beyond the curtain. So that, again, that was my focus. I wanted to make sure that the athletes had good communication. That was a challenge for me because I wanted to make sure I was very prompt in getting my communication out to athletes that had questions. And believe me, there was quite a few questions that come about. And if I didn't have the answer, I told them I'd be shortly back with an answer or someone could give them an answer. So I think I did pretty good on my communication side of it. And then from there, really, the focus was getting on good sponsorship that was getting product for the winners and product for the goodie bags or swag bags for the athletes. And then my own personal focus on the awards that I gave at the show for appreciation of them being there.
Hey, we'll talk about those awards in a little bit, because those are some very unique ones, aside from the Thor's hammers. But Justice is asking, and he wants to know, you know, how you go about basically doing a first-year show and still making sure that the competitors understand they're in something that's very special and something very unique.
Good question. I think a lot of that was I handled through a lot of my Facebook postings. I tried to make it an effort to post something just about every single day about the event or about the new sponsorships coming on for the show, the type of awards that I'd be giving out. And then plus, as the registrations came in and the questions started coming in, make sure that I did get immediately back to that athlete. They weren't sitting there wondering, well, what is my next move? What am I supposed to be doing? And again, a lot of that communication I've learned through going to the better shows. Again, Leif Anderson being my coach and mentor for promoting helped out just tremendously. I can't give him enough credit. So if he's listening, I hope he hears that, because he really played a big role in me being able to be successful in this first show.
Yeah, and I got to really piggyback that, because one of the things that you never did or never said, whether it been openly or privately, is like you felt you had to go this alone and basically carve your own course. I mean, you were basically asking everyone you knew that would have a definite answer, not no sugar-coated crap, but just a definite answer about how to make this work in a successful way as far as promotion and for the competitor side, because that is something that is missed. A lot of times when they do first-year runs, it's basically I'll cover, put all my focus over here so it's not a total basically blown show, instead of saying, hey, I'd like for this to actually be successful. And so you thought about the audience aspect, you thought about the competitor aspect, and you thought about the promotion aspect. And you reached out every chance you had to make sure that you were doing it in a way that would be successful. So, you know, when you're speaking about promoters, if anybody wanted to be a promoter, what are some of the headaches, and this is coming from Delana, what are some of the headaches with doing a promotion, especially being so, I guess, so quick after competing? You know, how do you make that changeover without basically stepping on your own toes?
Again, I think you got to realize that there's the old saying, no man is an island. You really got to rely on solid friends, as you know, Kalen, and I know, and most of the top athletes know. You surround yourself with positive people who know how to make things happen and things work, and that's really the focus. You bring those people together, and I guarantee you'll have a success. Treat them respectfully and let them do what they know how to do best, and I guarantee it'll all come together. I'm not going to lie, there's a lot of effort you have to put in yourself from promoting. I put a lot of my own equity into this first show, knowing it would be probably a smaller show and not as big as some of the other ones, but in my feelings, it's well worth it, because it's just going to grow for the future. I mean, we're just going to keep upping the bar on each show.
Yes, and one of the things that, we had Courtney on, one of the judges, and we were talking about how, you know, these, what, quote-unquote, smaller shows aren't really the cakewalk that people used to have back in the day, because now you have such high elite competition that the top three, top four, even in small shows, is so high caliber that you basically can't come in looking like the goofball that basically failed at the Chi-Town Showdown. I don't know if you got a chance to see a picture of that fella, where, you know, he thought that was a smaller end show, and then basically when he showed up, he wasn't even in the top 10, and that was with all the gear that he was doing as he's cheating. So, you know, it's the normal has changed, And I'm glad about it because I like the increased understanding of what it takes to step on stage. And I love the idea of such high competition at, like, quote, unquote, smaller shows, basically newer shows. And I know as a promoter, you had to be more than happy to know the audience is going to be taken care of when you see those kind of guys backstage.
You're right. I really want to emphasize that my show, and some people get maybe a little scared because of the title of the show being USA Championships, but really the show does have options for those that are getting their feet wet into the bodybuilding physique and bikini and figure classes, just because we have the novice and debut classes for those. But when it comes to the open classes and the pro qualifying classes, I'm proud to be bringing top-notch athletes into the show. And I think we did a pretty good job of that this year.
Oh, I would say so, and then some. And, you know, one of these questions is from, now remember, this was closer to your show when it actually aired, so this one comes because, you know, what we were speaking as judges, and mm-hmm. we were talking about some of the athletes that had stepped on stage, and we were hurt because we knew, because of the criteria and what the NGA asked for in the criteria, that they were in the wrong class. And a lot of them were very frustrated until they started getting the judges' feedback, because we could basically let them know exactly why they didn't place the way they were placing. But, you know, as a judge sitting in the judge's seat, it hurt me because I can't speak out and basically try to get them to change the classes because they're already stepping on stage. But as a promoter, how does that, like, wear on you when you realize, you know, this is an awesome athlete, but it's almost like getting out there in a basketball uniform and trying to play rugby? It's not going to end well. And as a promoter, how do you feel to see that? Because basically on show day, there's not much you can do.
You know, you're right. And that's a tough area to address. Because sometimes I can go out to their Facebook page and I see, you know, they're posting pictures of their prep, getting their prep ready for the stage, and you can sometimes tell for that. But honestly, sometimes you don't have a clue, and some don't like to let on too much until they come to show date. So it's critical that the NGA posts their bylaws, which tells
yes,
which NGOs on their posing, which kind of defines all the critique that the judge is looking for each of the classes. So it's very critical that the athlete, if they're new, that they're going out there and looking at those videos and looking at the bylaws to read through what the judges are going to be looking for each of the classes.
Amen to that. And, you know, one of the best examples, and I can speak about this fellow because we talked to him, myself, Leaf, and Brian McCabe all had a chance to talk to him where we could give feedback right after the show. And he was bodybuilding all day just in board shorts in men's physique. And he could not understand, you know, with his physique, the way it was looking, why he didn't place higher. And I said, well, you are just him stepping on stage in that category ensured that there would be points deducted simply because he was not fitting the criteria. And it hurt
right.
to hear it. He appreciated us being so open and honest about it, because it's such a tough spot to be in where you give all that work. And I'm just, like I said, as a promoter, I'm speaking as a judge, how much it hurt me. And as a promoter, when you see that kind of work and when you see that kind of effort, and basically it's still a bodybuilder on stage in men's physique.
Yeah, you're right. It does hurt, and it's something you don't want to have to see. You really, and that's an area I think that I'll put a lot more focus in for next year on my show, and to making sure that the athletes truly understand the what the critique is for each of those classes, so I can make sure they're hitting the right classes and making the most of it.
Yeah, well, Jack, honestly, between you and the NGA and all the video and all the YouTube, I don't know if there's much more you guys can do to basically cover the bases, because the only thing you didn't do was basically hand walk them onto the stage, because there's so much information that was given that you were sharing. I think, you know,
sometimes you share information, but it's not always seen. That's one of the biggest things I found on Facebook. As much as I published information on the show, it really didn't get near the traction that I actually thought it would, though I think it got more traction after the athletes went to the show and started posting some of their, the information on whether they won or placed or whatever. It started getting a lot more attention, but I think sometimes the athlete doesn't even think about asking the right questions sometimes. And
yes,
had those questions been asked, I might have been able to point them. But what I'm hearing in feedback from this, I think there's areas that I can help out with making sure that they do see that information. Like one of the things that a lot of the better promoters do is sending out a welcome packet to the new registrants. So making sure there's information in there they see to look up that information if they're not comfortable or sure of what class they should be competing in. I think sometimes we make an assumption that they know, but a lot of times they don't know.
I can see that. Because, you're one of the few this year. You, Leaf, Vicky McCann, Brian McCabe, you guys are basically daily posting something informative, not just, hey, come to my show, but basically this is one of the benefits if you do, and this is what's going to be there, and check this hashtag, sign, whatever. So, I was really blown away that you were just consistent with how you were doing it. And I was thinking, well, shoot, Tuna Lady's going to have to burn out, but you never did. But we're going to get back to the questions. I don't want the listeners to think we're ignoring them.
Okay.
Dale wants to know, as a promoter and a former competitor, did that aid in some of the things that you brought on and some of the things you didn't even think to bring because you already knew better?
It definitely helped me in regards to understanding what I think from an athlete's perspective of what they're looking for from being in a show and how they should be treated and presented. I don't know if it was something that I didn't want to bring, I just didn't bring it. It just didn't even enter my mind as something I would even think about. So I'm sure there's things, if I think back on shows that I attended, that there was stuff that I didn't like. It wasn't even contingent in my mind to be thought about. So I really focused on the positive things that I've witnessed and experienced in my shows that I've attended, and tried to bring that, and then plus just bringing my own creativity to the show is really the main focus. I think that pretty much covers his question.
Yeah, well, I think because he just said another one, he's reiterating. He said, basically, even though it's an NGA organization affiliate, how did you craft it and mold it to make sure it was your baby?
Oh, okay. So really, it centered around me developing my initial show logo, and then how I designed the awards for the show logo, and how I was going to bring awards to the athletes that centered around that show logo is really my core thoughts of how I was going to present the show to the athletes. And I think pretty good job on that. And then it's just, adding your own flavors. Like again, this was a smaller show, and each year it's going to improve as I can put more of myself into it. I think I think initially most of my creativity and that went into making sure we had a great venue and had a an atmosphere that the athletes would be happy with on the stage, and giving them awards and swag bags that they could walk away with and say, yeah, this is a show that's worth doing. And they got the time on the stage and the credit.
Okay, this is one, and I guess this is somebody that was actually there.
Okay.
They could have said hi, but they didn't, but I'm not going to knock you guys for it. But Brenda and Tiffany said, thank you so much for making sure we had ample parking. That is one of the biggest parking lots we've ever had the opportunity to attend when going to a natural bodybuilding show. So kudos for that. And
yeah,
it was a big venue. I mean, there was a lot of space, and I'm sure you were happy with that.
Yeah, I definitely was happy with the venue. Actually, the parking was a little bit of a concern for me just because it wasn't real obvious of where to get into the parking. I heard a couple people talking about that, but there may be something I can do for next year to make sure directions are pretty well understood on how to get to the parking. But the venue itself, I love the venue. There's a huge amount of space for the sponsors to set up and be right there next to the stage or the venue itself. I was very, very happy with the venue.
Yeah, and there's plenty of room for anything that you want to add to it because there is so much ample space, and I was really happy with that. And, you know, just the fact that you could do the walk around and actually – I mean, like, there's more than one bathroom. There's more than – I mean, basically, there's ample everything because it's such a big venue. And that's one of the things that's really happening better is that more attention to detail is bringing better audience. I mean, that's got to be something that – I mean, because, you know, as a promoter, it's got to be a great feeling to hear audience interaction when the show is running like it should.
That's true. Very true.
Now, here we go. Dale has another question, and he's basically wanting to know, when you're dealing with the unhappy competitor, that basically no matter how good the feedback, no matter how good the information, no matter how informative you are with the criteria, as a promoter, does it still sting to know that a competitor is completely not happy with their placing or how the show went?
Yeah, it's definitely a mental challenge to come to grips with because you do want to make sure the athletes are walking away and are as happy as they can be. But sometimes you do have to look at it with a critical mind and a critical eye and say, hey, I trust the judges are doing their job and doing what they're qualified to do. And if those are the facts of the show, and I have to say I rely on that judgment and would in a heartbeat say this is truly what the judges believe. And I'd really, if you think you can do any better, I'd want you to come back and give it a go again because there's something usually if they've talked to the judges and really been honest with themselves and open, the judges are fair. They give good feedback. They're going to tell you exactly where your weak points are, where are the areas you need to build up in to help improve. And you really have to go with those facts.
Yes, you do. And there's one thing, well, there's actually two things I'd like to point out. And one deals with you and what you just said, because it's the truth. You know, Joe Perez has said this many times. You know, people go to him because of the way the judges decided, thinking that he's going to override what the judge's decision is. And he said he's going to get a shirt that says, I'm just the promoter. Because I don't know what people think or what's basically being spread around in rumor mill, but we don't meet And I can say from the shows I've judged, the promoter has never interacted with us during the judging. He's basically being the promoter of the show. And he never interacted with us to say anything like, hey, this person looks awesome, don't you think? Or, you know, if I were judging, I would pick this person. These things just don't happen. So I don't know what the rumor mill is. As a competitor, I've never seen it. I've never been witness to it other than basically the promoter taking, if there's an off-site meeting for the judging scoring, that's the only time I've seen where the promoter and the judge are in the same place during the judge's scoring, and that's simply because the promoter basically had to guide them to the place they're supposed to go. But there was never an interaction of, this is how I think a person looked and they would win. None of that happened. So, you know, hats off that you also have kept that in your forefront and did not make us feel uncomfortable or threatened. But it's also...
Yeah, I would never do that. I mean, promoter is busy enough just making sure everything's running smooth in the background and making sure people are doing their jobs and making the show as smooth as possible. We don't interact with the judges at all.
No, and I think that would be a conflict of interest to even, you know, because, you know, like a lot of times there's nothing wrong with what's going on, but the appearance of wrong is what, you know, I know you've always spoken about, because you don't, I mean, like, you're not guilty and you don't want to look like you're guilty just because somebody could say, oh, you know, I saw them hanging out as they're scoring. And I heard, you know, why even let that atmosphere be breathed into existence by, you know, even setting up that kind of way? So I'm glad that, you know, the promoter stays the promoter and the judges get to be judges. But there was one thing that, you know, it's a fellow family member in the P4P family, and that's Sarah. And, you know, she didn't place the way she wanted to, and she took some days to reflect on it. And she did a really good post about this. And I think a lot of people, if they don't have a chance, if they have time, can go to read her page. She's also a fellow P4P athlete, and she competes in bikini. And she did a really nice post about her unhappiness and her placing. But on self-reflection, she realized the things she was going to have to do to take it to that next level. And I started that hashtag next level, because I really felt what she was saying, and I've been there, you've been there, where, you know, you thought you brought a really good package, but then when you see the competition, you realize, you know, it's just not going to happen today. As much as you put into it, as much as you poured into that moment, it's just not going to happen. And that's a whooping like you can't imagine as a competitor. But we've all been there. And instead of
we have, and you're right, I remember that post, and those. Very good post, but it goes to show how to properly step back from, you know, the heat of the moment, as they say, and being able to reflect on it and really look at yourself with a critical eye, as opposed to letting emotion dictate how we act. It's good to have feelings and emotions, but when you let the emotions dictate how you react to the situation, that generally doesn't pan out well. She did a great thing by taking that step back, reflecting upon it, and actually, you know, putting that out to the world so everybody can understand that.
Yes, and one of the things I really appreciated is that even when the people were basically trying to butter her up, she would not let that happen because she was being open and honest. And like you said, many times as competitors, as athletes, we have to tell ourselves the truth or we don't improve. And, I mean, it's just that simple. And you know, like I said, as a promoter, it's got to be incredibly hard to know people have been giving their all, but on this day, it's not good enough. Because there's first place for you on your look, but there's first place on stage. And I think a lot of people have a hard time making that distinguishment so they understand, hey, this is my best package. And when I was in Kansas City, I had to actually tell somebody because the boyfriend was basically making the woman so angry with, you know, you look so good and this, that, whatever. And it sounds good coming from your significant other, but it wasn't
right.
true. And I was telling her, I said, you know, this might be your best package to date. And I will not,
yep.
not deny that, and I will not take away from that. But you're not going to win because there's two people on stage that are better than you right now. I said, if you get third place, you know, you're going to do really well. Because with the size of the show, if I placed in the top five, I would have been happy. When you have 15, 20 competitors in your class, and you're stepping out of there in the top five, you did something good. And if you're top three, that's really an accomplishment. But, you know, it's just win or, you know, win or nothing. And I don't understand that as a competitor because, like you said, you constantly want to improve. And if you have room for improvement, then you just got to improve. And, you know, as a promoter, it's got to be an awesome feeling to see those people that are willing to take those steps. But it's also kind of a distraction when you have people that aren't willing to hear the information they really need to improve. Because there's some really good athletes that won't get better simply because their minds won't let them.
That's true. I won't give up on a person, though. I will keep trying to point them to how to look at themselves a little more critically. But, no, you're always going to, I think, always have some of that out there. And Lord knows why, I'm not sure, because I think we each all have our own predilections on sometimes how we look at the reasons why we do things like competing and that. So I'm only speaking from my own self, and I think you're the same mind, but there are some people that have different viewpoints on why they compete, and sometimes you can't break through that mode of thinking to be able to look at it more critically.
Yes. And, you know, like you said, it's sad, but that reality is out there as well. And, you know, it
exactly.
just sucks. But I'm going to get back to the questions because, like I said, I don't want them to think we're ignoring them. But, you know, you bring up some good topics, and I do not want them to be missed because you are a promoter and you can speak from that other side. And one of the things that I really did want to address was the fact that people think that head judges and promoters interact in the halftime, and that's a myth. I can speak firsthand as a competitor. I can speak firsthand as a judge, and I can speak firsthand as a reporter. I'm not at all these shows and missing that point. It's not mm-hmm. happening. So what you might see in the enhanced arena, that's one thing. But what you see in the natural community is something totally different because that's just never been a thing. We're going to get over to actually another Jack. Here we go. And Jack wants
okay.
to know, he's asking Jack. Jack is asking Jack. That's funny. But he wants to know when you see people signing up for your show, your baby, how does
yeah.
that feel as a promoter as compared to being a competitor signing up for a show?
Oh wow! Well, it's exciting. It's actually it motivates me more that much more to bring as much or even more to the show than I thought I possibly could. It's hard to explain until you've I guess been in that, but it's a feeling that overwhelms me to the extent that I've got drive now. I'm thinking how I want to improve next year's show, what I'm going to bring that I can honestly say that it brings the bar up two or three notches above what this year's show was. So it's a great feeling. It really is. And it's and especially when you know you're doing it for something you love, and I definitely love my FitFam, so I'll do whatever I can to help bring a better and better show every year.
And this one actually comes from Brenda, and she basically wants to know, because she's been to a lot of your pages, and she's seen a lot of your pictures, your photos, and she wants to know, did that help at all, that photographer's eye, in picking the venue and seeing some really great angles as a photographer and saying, you know, this would be a good shot if this were here or that were there. And that's over, so I'm not going to mess with it.
It does, but I leave the creativity of the photography into whoever is doing the photography for my show. I like them to be able to bring their own originality to the show because, yeah, I have my viewpoint, and I love the way I come up with my angles for taking pictures, but there's a lot of great photographers out there. And Desiree for Corso Photographic this year, I think she does a fantastic job on my show, which was really an amazing thing because my original photographer had a family issue and unfortunately he couldn't make the show, so Desiree was able to come in at the last moment and fulfill the photography for my show. So it was a big thank you to her for pulling that off. And like I say, every photographer has their particular way of shooting, and I honestly like most photographers that I've seen out there, for especially for bodybuilding and fitness shows, that do an excellent job. And I may have a little creativity input in the future in that, but for the most part I totally trust their abilities to do a good job.
And that actually goes segues right into the next question, which was, what were some of the hardships, what were some of the pitfalls? Oh, I'm sorry. This is from Brandy. I'm sorry, Brandy, I should have said that sooner. But this is from Brandy. She wants to know, what were some of the pitfalls, some of the setbacks, and some of the speed bumps that made you think, man, this show might not go well?
Well, the first biggest hurdle that I had was I really wasn't able to start taking registrations for this show. It was almost the end of February of this year, so I inherited this show, and just because of the way the timing of it, I wasn't able to get it out there in front of the athletes' eyes early enough so they could get it on their competition schedule. So that was probably one of my biggest challenges of how to quickly get registrations going as quick as I could and be able to make a show worthy of having enough athletes there. That was probably my biggest challenge and fear that it wouldn't have happened. Honestly, probably almost three-quarters of the athletes signed up within about the last month before the show started. So from a promoter's standpoint, that's probably the most hair-raising fear that you have is the last-minute sign-ups for the show. Honestly, that's probably my biggest fear of the show not being able to take place this year, was getting enough athletes. But other than that, I really had faith in, like I say, all the great people I had working with me to help pull off the show. From that standpoint, I couldn't ask more. It was just awesome. So really, that was
a good point.
Sure.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that really the getting athletes to register for the show was really the biggest fear I had.
Okay. And you brought up something that I'd like to peg on, and that's the foundation and the group and the support that is in this region. And I'm very thankful. God, I think that's why so much of this region is doing so well, is because of the foundation that's in place to make sure that the athletes are taken care of, because that's the one thing that binds us all together, is ensuring that the competitor is treated like a human being. Because like I said, we've seen the other side of that. And there's so many good athletes that'll never set foot on a stage again simply by the poor treatment they got from the shows. Well, I don't even want to call them shows. From the meat grinder.
No, I know what you're saying.
Yeah. And it's just really sad. But I thank God that, you know, you guys have stepped up and basically got that net out there to catch them, to where the ones that didn't fall all the way off had a chance to come back, because it was some phenomenal athletes at your show, but also some wonderful people to keep them smiling even when they didn't really see the light at the end of the tunnel. Because, like I said, the bodybuilding guy in men's physique, that could have been a travesty if one of the judges had said some of the things I've heard in the past. It could have. There's so many things that could have gone wrong that didn't, and I'm thankful for it simply because, you know, you picked a group of people that would treat the people like human beings, and that's very important. It might seem minor to somebody that's not backstage or not interacting and basically just watching somebody walk on stage to compete. But backstage, there's so much that people don't see that could ruin a show. And because of the people you selected to be, you know, in the place of the placings that you put them, the expediters and everything else, the show runs smoothly and the athlete isn't offended or disgraced.
That's very true. I mean, again, I can't give enough thanks to all the help that I had and the Fit Fam that I had working with me on the show, because they all did a fantastic job. All of them have some background or have worked with other athletes in some form or fashion, either from competing or being with someone who does compete. Just a fantastic group of folks.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And the last question I'm going to get to, because this one's a tough one. And the people, this is basically from Aaron. And Aaron wants to know, you know, when you have the competitor that basically missed the boat, that basically came in, oh, with a gym body. I'm sorry, I almost didn't recognize that word. Not written correctly. But comes in with a gym body, expecting to win, and really promoted themselves well on social media, but then doesn't place in the top two. How do you save that person from themselves? That's a good question, Aaron. That's a very good question. If you don't mind, Jack, I'll piggyback what your response is, because that's a very good question.
No, it is an excellent question. I think, again, it really boils down to, if they didn't place where they thought they should, they really need to take that time and talk to each of the judges to get their input to understand why they did not. The judges that I had at the show are going to be fair, they're going to be honest, they're going to be open, and they're going to give it pretty much straightforward of what areas you need to focus on to hit that placement of where you really think you should have fell. I think really that is the crux of it, is taking that time and really talking with the judges and taking that critique to heart and shooting to make yourself better the next time.
Yes. That's a very good answer. And mine, I've seen this in the past, and, you know, as much as we like to put on promoters and what they're supposed to do and how they're supposed to treat the athlete, there's also the other side of how the athlete is supposed to treat the show. And I think they don't bear that in mind when they're putting out the information they're putting out. And, you know, I respect confidence. I respect what people do to motivate themselves. But the one thing that I've learned in every sport I've competed in is you don't disrespect your competition. And there's a line that you just don't go beyond in true competition. That's why I always speak about true competition, because I know it. I've lived it. I've been a part of it. I've been on the side of winning. I've been on the side of the loser. And there's always a respect factor in how you go about competition that shows the true competitor that you are. We all have to answer for ourselves. We all have to answer for what we put out into the atmosphere, whether it be through social media, whether it be talking to friends or interacting with coworkers. How we speak is who we are. And if we're sitting there talking about things in the future, no one can predict the future. You can only bring your best. because you don't know who's going to show up, you don't know who's going to be in the venue, and you don't know how the competition is going to go. These are things that are just unknown. I mean, I've seen where someone was primed and ready to compete and slipped and pammed and couldn't pose correctly because they twisted their ankle and couldn't finish the pose the way they were supposed to, and they lost points. There's all kinds of parameters that come up. Putting yourself in a hole that you dug by basically saying this is a definite, sure, 100% thing, and then finding out that your 100% is 10% for everyone else, then you're in a really bad spot to begin with. And you put yourself in a spot where you can't win. You have to win first place. And no one should be under that kind of pressure where you have to do anything in competition, because that opens the door for cheating. And if you cheat, you've already lost before you even hit the stage. So please, please, speak well if you have to. Talk yourself up if you have to. But don't disrespect the competition by saying, no matter who shows up, I'm going to win. Because you don't know. And as good as you might think you are, I guarantee there's somebody out there that will be better. There always is. That's why it's competition. That's why it's competing. If basically all we had to do was show up for T-ball trophies, then there would be no competition. And there would be no promotion. There would be no point of promotion. So please bear that in mind. You make the promoter's job a lot easier from start to finish because, you know, as much as there's pre-work to do in promotion, there's post-work to do in promotion, and a lot of what the promoter does not need is flack from basically pride and ego. He would rather hear the he or she would rather hear the information about how to promote the show better, how to make the second year better than the first year, and how to improve going forward. Not to hear how the promoters sucked, the judges sucked, they were robbed, and God knows that we were all against them. I can guarantee that no one in that judge panel, no promoter, is saying if this person shows up, they have to lose or they have to look really bad because we don't know you that well. It's just that simple. And as a promoter, Jack, I guarantee, never told us if this person is sitting put on stage, that I want them to suffer unforgivably. It just doesn't happen. So, Jack,
that's correct. We're here to promote, nurture friendships and for both on and off the stage. I mean, most of these competitors are friends with each other, and we work to build each other up. We're not here to tear each other down.
Exactly. Oh my goodness, that's it in a nutshell. Jack, I know that you have a lot of things going on, but I want you. Do you have the date for next year's show?
No, I don't. I'm waiting for my venue to get back with me. I've got my request in. I'll put this out here right now. I'm shooting for June 9th, but until I can hear that back from the venue for a solid date, I won't post it out there quite yet, but I'm
okay.
Tentatively looking at June 9th for next year.
Now, I don't want to end the show without giving props to your wife because, wow,
definitely.
She's a trooper and she busted behind and all you do. I mean, you talk about support. She's the real deal. So I'll give you a chance to put that out there and let the folks know just how well you are supporting.
Thank you, Kalen. Yes, my wife, Judy, was a big help for a lot of her help really boiled down to the last few days. But if she wasn't there to help me, I guarantee the show would not have happened. I owe a lot to her, and I owe a lot to a lot of people. I'm going to name just a few here real quick here. There's Robert and Debbie McFarlane, Brad Butler, Bianca Charlene, Christopher Worth, Kimmy Arnon, and, of course, the judges, Jonathan Egan, Leif Anderson, Courtney McGill, Brian McCabe, John Abraham, and yourself, Kalen. Big thanks to my guest poser, which was Meshack Osheng, And then for the photography was Desiree Dungan. I hope I didn't mispronounce her last name there. Award presenters, Ty Kroll, Sarah Jean Meyer, Patrick Tucker, and Ashley Serb. Just a lot of great people to work with, and with their help, it really made the show special. And, of course, the athletes were number one.
Yes. Last-minute question before
okay.
we get back. Shout-out. This is funny to me, and you'll find it funny as well. Everybody wants to know, is Meshack really a natural athlete?
Yes, he is. We can attest that Meshack has actually done testing outside of competition just to show that he is natural. I'm not sure when the last time he's done that, but I know he has done that in the past and will more than likely do it in the future to keep people. He's old school. He's been doing it for almost all his whole life, and he knows how to make it work. There's a lot of good natural athletes out there. I mean, people don't realize what can be attained just through natural, doing it natural and doing it, sticking with it long term. Isn't something that's going to happen overnight? But
the dedication
these people show, it does pay forward.
Oh my goodness, and that's a very good and very valid point. And I have to laugh because, the first time I invited Meshack to the Five Star Fitness, and everybody was like, oh, man, I thought you were natural, then you come bringing this enhanced guy in here. What the heck's going on? And I just thought that was so funny because I've known Meshack for years, so it's always culture shock when they see that. And I get it. Because his muscle bellies are so full. Like Jack has said, this guy's been putting it down for years. So it should be no surprise to anybody that knows the work that has to happen for that to happen. But it is a surprise for people that are used to being around the enhanced community because that's what they expect when they see an enhanced individual.
True. That's true.
Any more shout-outs, Jack?
I think that pretty much takes most of the other than the long list of sponsors, but I would want to put out there that anybody, if they still have questions, they can message me directly. They can either message me on Facebook or they can actually send an email to my show email, which is halvo3, that's HALVO, the number 3, at NGAUSAChampionships.com. I can always be reached there, and believe me, I look forward to being able to answer any other questions. Anybody that has any that was at the show and wanted to see have suggestions for improvements and enhancements for the next show, please forward those to me as well. I'm always open to any input, both athletes and the audience and judges and sponsors might have for my show.
Well, there you go. And you're such a humble fella. I know you won't say it, but so I will. And, you're already promoting for next year's show, but you're also making sure you can finance it. And one of the things that you were doing is making sure that you had the hoodies and the T-shirts, and this year you had them on sale, but you're putting all that money back into the show for next year. So if anybody wants to pick up a hoodie or T-shirt, how can they go about doing
it? They can message me directly on Facebook, or eventually I'll have a website up or have the hoodies and T-shirt posted on the website for sale as well. The website is www.ngausachampionships.com. And I'll eventually have that updated to where the T-shirts and hoodies will be for sale there. But for now, they can contact me directly, and I will get them taken care of.
Well, there you go. And, you know, we just recently did the Madison, Wisconsin get-together, and basically they're talking about making that a traveling road show to where we go to the different communities and give back, because honestly that's what natural athletes can always do because we have no fear or shame in our lives, so we can be open and honest about them, and we can basically help people increase their lives in that perspective. Would you be open to a Peoria get-together? Because I know we've done some workouts down there, but would... Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm definitely open to that. I know there's a lot of good charitable donation areas that we can do down here as well, like what Tyann did up there. So unfortunately, I couldn't make that due to family event, but yeah, I would look forward to doing that down in this area as well.
Well, you know, all you got to do is make the date.
I'll get something going.
And
you know I will.
And just let us know in advance the charity that we're basically taking care of. And I think that this is something that could really spark a revolution because there are so many people in this nation right now that are in need. And they, you know, like Tyann and Michek were saying, they don't have the opportunities we have, but we still aren't supposed to forget about them because they don't have those opportunities. And I know you're one of those people, and your wife is definitely a supporter of that, where it could get done.
You bet. All right, we'll get something going.
Yes, sir. And I'll be sure to keep that door open in this region as well, but I'm waiting to see what Brian McCabe's going to do because he's Chicago, and I don't want to do anything that might interrupt his show or his charity event. So thanks again, Jack. Great talking to you. The listeners, I mean, you answered a lot of questions in just what you were saying, so I didn't have to ask them. And the listeners basically gave a thumbs up and saying that they understand that I was not ignoring them because I didn't give their names out. So, guys, you know, I appreciate that. And I can tell you right now, it just like Jack is in promoting, he doesn't want to overlook anyone, and definitely we don't want to overlook any listeners on the show. But if he's answering the question as the show is going, there's no point in me asking him again. It's kind of redundant. So thank you so much for understanding that. Thanks so much, Jack. And you got a lot of thumbs up for this show, so great job. You were very informative, and they really appreciate that. And, that, you know, that's how the sport grows. So thank you. And anything else before we sign off the show?
No, I think we're good. I do appreciate everybody listening, and like I say, send me feedback, get with me directly if you can. Otherwise, I look forward to putting on next year's show, and hopefully I'll see some of you there.
Well, there you go. And it doesn't end, it show doesn't end any better than that. So thanks a lot, Jack. Have a blessed night, man, and hope to see you soon. I'll be down in Peoria probably this weekend. You know, we have some, like you said, there's some family events that I have to attend to in that region. So,
I'll hit me up if you want to go for a workout.
Oh, yes.
Thanks,
buddy.
Kalen.
That's a guarantee. All right, buddy.
All right. Bye-bye.
I'll talk to you later. So that was Jack Halverson. He does the NGA USA in Madison, Wisconsin. Awesome individual. If you don't know the man, it's because you haven't been traveling, because he definitely hits the road. He's got some miles under his belt, as most true passionate athletes do. We're fans of the sport as well as competitors, and we want to help and promote it as much as we can. There's a lot of interaction in the sport. There's a lot of people that know each other, but what we do have is respect, responsibility for what we do and say, and a maturity to understand that we have to go beyond friendships and everything else. We are competitors, but we don't want to cheat anyone. No competitor wants to cheat anyone ever. It's just not part of competition. And I thank God for that mentality in me, given by the Holy Spirit, where I can't hurt or harm someone and do them wrong. And that's a blessing in itself. But in a state of competition, that's even better because I don't have to feel bad or guilty or feel like I did someone wrong. most of the true athletes, competitive athletes, are the same way. Jack has been doing a lot of great things behind the scenes. His photography is on another level. If you ever get a chance to get pictures with him, you'll see what I'm talking about. So Dez couldn't make the show, obviously. I had to fly solo. Team Awesome is Team Hurt because he didn't have his partner in my PIC. And, you know, she's a blessing, but she has family and she has things that she has to tend to. And we all have to understand that family matters. And if you can't see family for the competition, then you're not competing with the right one. That's just the answer. So Team Awesome will be there Thursday. She says hello. She definitely sent a message saying that. And she wants everybody to know that she did not want to miss the show, but it does happen. And, well, that's all I want to say about that. I miss you, Dad. And look forward to talking to you Thursday. So ending the show in her famous words, your body's a temple, so let's go.